We've been looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We're carrying on with that today. I'm going to start from reading from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to people long ago, 'Do not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown in prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." And here we have Jesus is exposing the root problem behind murder, which is anger. And it's now that we start to see and understand the depth of our shortcomings. You know, last week we talked about what do you do with your anger? And there were three things we looked at. First of all, many people express it. That is, as they lash out, whether it's physically and they punch someone or they kick them or beat them up, or they verbally attack them and they just give them a verbal tongue lashing. And they are just letting it all out, and they express it. You know, another thing we can do with our anger is suppress it. That is, as we can bury it, we can shove it down, we can cover it up, we can pretend that it's not there, we don't deal with it, we just kind of push it down. And that's never a good thing either. Even though we've buried it, sooner or later, it just doesn't go away, it starts to grow. And given the right situation, the right temperament, and the right things happening, all of a sudden there becomes this explosion and it just explodes. Then the third thing we talked about was, or you can confess it. That is, you recognize the feelings you have and you're honest about them and you bring them out into the open. And this is where we ended the last time. And now in verse 23, Jesus said, "Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you." You see, you remember your brother, your sister, someone, a friend has something against you. Why do they have something against you? Well, it could be one of a couple of reasons. It could be because they have wronged you and you have something against them. Or it could be that you are in the wrong and you have wronged them and they have something against you. You know, I believe Jesus made this deliberately ambiguous as to who's right and who's wrong, for that's not what's important here. The reality is there is something between you and someone else. And as verse 24 says, "Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift." So you're on the way to the altar. In the context of Matthew chapter 5, that would be the temple in Jerusalem. You've traveled to Jerusalem, you've traveled to the Trent Temple, and there you are before the altar, and you remember. You remember there just then that your brother, your sister, your friend, someone has something against you. Now it's not, okay, well, on my way home, if I happen to see them, I'll stop and see if I can work things out. No, that isn't it at all. Jesus says, "Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your friend, to your brother, to your sister. And then after that, come and offer your gift." This is not just about you and the other person. This actually involves you and God as well. Because our relationships with one another have a vital bearing on our relationship with God. We read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. It says there, "If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must love his brother. You know, if I'm going to love God, if I'm going to trust God, if I'm going to be in relationship with God, but I'm not going to do anything about putting right a bad relationship with someone else, you know what? I'm just deceiving myself that I love God. So first, we need to go and make things right. Jesus says, with the person that there's a problem with, whoever it is, you make things right. You know, never think that the way you live your life and the relationships that you have allowed to fragment, and don't do anything about fixing them, especially if they're with fellow believers. Don't think that that won't have a profound effect on you and even the church. Wherever there have been great movements of God and spiritual revival anywhere around the world, one of the elements of those revivals have been people getting things right with each other, making things right. You know, we live in a very broken society. We live in a broken world. And often you might hear someone say, how dare you come to me and talk to me about things that are personal issues, that are my business and not yours. But you know, the Christian life is all about relationships. First and foremost is our relationship with God. That is vitally important. And following that, it's our relationship with others. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is dealing with our relationships with one another. And we're going to see that over and over and over again in the coming weeks as we continue on through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things that Matthew chapter 6 teaches us is that you will not find meaning in life in material things. Now, things are valuable. Things are useful to serve us. But if they become the object of our lives, they will never satisfy. It's relationships that bring satisfaction. But so many people sacrifice relationships for material things. They'll neglect their spouse. They'll neglect their children. They will neglect their families. They will neglect their friends for that which does not satisfy. You know, one day a lawyer, I'll call them a lawyer. In the Bible, they're called an expert in the law. This lawyer came to Jesus and tested him with a question. Lawyers are good at that, aren't they? They love to ask questions. And this lawyer asked Jesus, we read it in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. He said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Basically, the lawyer was asking, out of the Ten Commandments, Jesus, which is the most important? If you were to list them in order of importance, Jesus, I want to know which one you're going to put on the top. Is it, you'll have no other gods before me? Is that the greatest commandment? Or is it, you shall not steal? Or how about the sanctity of life, and so you do not murder? Or how about greed? Is that the most important? You shall not covet? Or is it sexual faithfulness? You shall not commit adultery. What commandment tops the list this lawyer is wanting Jesus to answer? And Jesus replied, not by quoting any of the Ten Commandments. Jesus' reply comes in Matthew 22 and verse 37. And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, Jesus actually quoted that from Deuteronomy chapter 6. There are actually two accounts of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. One is in the book of Exodus in chapter 20, and the other comes to us in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 5. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God spoke to Moses and enlarged on the Ten Commandments, telling him how these commandments are to be worked out in life. And in enlarging on the Ten Commandments, God said to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, he said, "You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And this is what Jesus quoted to the lawyer. And then Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 39, he said, "And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And this is a quotation from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. And actually, the whole verse, if Jesus had quoted it, is very relevant to what we're talking about today, because God said in Leviticus 19 and verse 18, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." In the context in which this was given in, it was about not having a grudge against somebody, but loving them. Loving them is to deal with the grudge. It's to deal with the issue that has created the tension between you and someone else. And then Jesus said, "All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." You can take all the law and all the prophets, and they're either about loving God or loving your neighbor. Everything fits under these two things. The Christian life is about a right relationship with God and right relationships with other people. And we can't detach one from the other. And if we're going to take Jesus seriously, as we must do, and these are Jesus' words, then if there is in your life any broken relationships that you are not attempting to rectify, you'll be hindering the work of God in your life. You know, if you are engaged in some Christian activity and you remember my brother, my sister, my friend, someone has something against me, you're first to leave your gift or what you're doing and go and be reconciled, and then come and worship the Lord and serve Him then. There's a priority here, because your relationship with others will affect your relationship with God and your effectiveness for God. So is there someone that you're needing to go and make a phone call to, or maybe pay a visit to, or offer an apology, or extend forgiveness, or confess your sin? For without doing that, you will not grow and deepen in your relationship with God. For you will not be experiencing all the benefits and blessings that flow from God, for there will be this blockage there. Even if you're offering your gift at the altar or serving God in some manner, remember then someone has something against you. Leave your gift, leave what you are doing, and first go and be reconciled with the person, to the person, and then come and offer your gift and service to God. Has God been speaking to you through His Word right now? If He has, you know, it's very likely the person you need to get right with is on your mind at this very moment. Or maybe someone will come to mind as you further think about this. You might even bump into them sometime this week and suddenly realize, uh-oh, there's a problem here. It will take courage on your part. But what are you going to do about it? Just as God seeks to restore the broken relationship there is with each one of us and Himself, when we experience a restored relationship with God, we are to live out that same kind of restoration towards others. And if we don't, that will become the blockage point in our spiritual lives and growth. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we are a broken people, living in a broken world. And Your Word speaks powerfully to each one of us. And I pray that we will be doers and not hearers of Your Word. Oh, thank you for the reconciliation and restoration we have experienced with you through Jesus. And Heavenly Father, help us to live in the light of that and be the first to step out in seeking reconciliation with anyone who has something against us. Oh, I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.